This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, Adam Schiff's impeachment circus continues. We'll continue to break it down and analyze it for you live on the air.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo. Share this with your friends and family if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope. If you're one of the millions of people listening into over 1,000 radio stations that carry Jay Seculo Live every single day. That's right. You know, sometimes I know we make it a very personal show, especially because we bring the cameras to the studio, so we have that audience on Facebook, and then we have one on Periscope. Through the Twitter, watch through Twitter's Periscope, and then of course some of you are listening on local radio stations. Some of you are listening on Sirius XM. It's 1,000 plus stations, plus what we're doing on Sirius XM, plus what we're doing on Facebook and Periscope. So make sure as you're listening to this, encourage your friends to. This is actually a very good time to during the impeachment inquiry. Hearings, public hearings, because there's a break right now. I don't know if the break will last the entire show, but it's not like a 10-minute break. It was a break for a vote. Those could take a bit longer. Now, they may come back pretty soon. We only have one witness testifying today in the public hearings. She testified previously. This is the former ambassador to the Ukraine, Marie Ivanovich. She was recalled from her position in May. So, long time before the July phone call, she has no firsthand knowledge of that. She was not on the call. She got the transcript when you and I did. Anything that she's, it's all just opinion, policy positions that she didn't like, some policy positions that she did like from President Trump, like actually arming the Ukrainians, unlike President Obama. She was put in the position as ambassador by President Obama. Just as the news art, we pulled a news article about how President Obama was giving the pink slips to ambassadors. And it was a Washington Post article from 2008. Because you put your own people in place, especially in the key countries. And if one of those countries is one that maybe was kind of run by the bureaucracy in the past and kind of career folks, but certainly suddenly becomes one that is kind of very important because Russia is getting, you know, is engaged in a military conflict there. Has annexed part of that country, Crimea, which they did under President Obama, and now you're having to decide about how much weaponry to send them, which President Obama decided to send blankets and MREs and non-lethal help. President Trump decided to send lethal. So all that talk about conspiring with Russia, we're sending the Trump administration is sending Ukrainians weapons that can kill Russians and Russian soldiers so they can fight back against the Russian aggression there. So the ambassador praised that. Didn't like other parts of the Trump policy. So again, you're getting someone who was removed from their job, still gets paid by the State Department, by the way, still on the State Department payroll. Actually at one of my alma maters doing a special program at Georgetown, and I think their School of Foreign Service in one of those programs. So it's not like she got fired. She just got recalled from that ambassadorship. So she wasn't happy about that. She's giving you her feelings, her opinions on policy, and just kind of how, again, it's feelings and opinions and policy disputes. I mean, and Than, while it may have been so far a little bit more interesting because of some things that have occurred, and maybe because there's only one witness, we have yet to hear the Republicans get to question this witness.
I would just say that's not an accident, Jordan. They did the same thing with Ambassador Taylor and Deputy Secretary Kent. They let the Democrats go, including the council. Then they took a prolonged break. And I'll tell you this, a House vote taking this long, that's coordinated. That's intentional.
Kent, they call the committee members to come out like when they got like 20 minutes left, right? Then they do it. They're the last people to vote, and they come right back in.
Yep. Keep it going. Definitely not 2 hours, Jordan.
No. I mean, this is bizarre. I thought, you know, by the time we were on air, at least they'd be getting in their chairs again. Maybe they will be soon, but they wanted things to sink in. We'll be right back. Take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, Facebook, Periscope. Share it with your friends and family.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Let me say to Facebook and Periscope, because we didn't have a lot of time to chat, just our small group, in between the break, to share this with your friends and family as we get to day two of the public impeachment hearings. I put that in quotes because, again, the president's counsel is not able to ask questions of these witnesses. The White House counsel is not able to ask questions of the witnesses. Just now, members of Congress are returning to the foreign I guess which room they're having. Are they having it in the Intelligence Committee hearing room? If they are, that's where they are returning to. The only Republican we've heard from so far is Devin Nunes in his opening statement. Now we will finally hear the Republicans get an opportunity to question the witness today. Now, who is the witness today? The witness today is the former ambassador to the Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, long-term State Department official, has had a couple other appointments as ambassador, certainly not as high level as ambassador to Ukraine, but she's been like the deputy there. She was the ambassador to, I think it was Armenia and Kyrgyzstan before. She served under President Bush and Obama. Obama is the one that put her in place for Ukraine, which is a lot more, I'd say, and it's nothing about her previous position. She was kind of like moving on the ladder in the State Department. Ukraine certainly plays a huge role in the world, especially under the Obama years because of Russian aggression and the Ukrainian revolution that threw out a kind of pro-Putin leader in Ukraine. And then most recently, the election of someone who was in the entertainment world, with no political experience. I wouldn't say he's exactly like President Trump because I think President Trump came from a business background with a lot more experience when it comes to, you know, running large companies, thousands of staff, properties all over the world, international business. This one in Ukraine, nothing against him because, I mean, he won and he's a reformer, ran as a reformer and ran as someone very different than the usual suspects, if you will, in Ukraine. Came from the entertainment world. It was like it did a lot of comedy and stuff like that. But he's taking his role very seriously. You would not know that if you saw him as in his role as president. Just to kind of put the info there, we did get some new information, by the way. Do we have the sound? Devin Nunes, the only Republican who's gotten to talk so far, read that transcript, which is now available, the first time President Trump talked to President Zelensky. And in that, you will hear nothing about the Bidens, nothing about conditioning aid, You'll hear nothing about, oh, to have a meeting at the White House, you've got to do this. In fact, they're talking about having the meeting at the White House or meeting somewhere in a different location they might both be, and who may be at his inauguration. This is after his victory, before he's actually in office. Do we have some of that sound? We're going to get that sound for you. So that was new. The president did release that transcript. That was the transcript that predates the July phone call. I think it's back in April. It's when Zelensky won election. But back to Marie Yovanovitch. Okay, so she's the then she gets put in place Obama as the ambassador to Ukraine. A lot of stuff happening in Ukraine. You got Russia military aggression under the Obama administration. The war started there between Russia and Ukraine, really a one-sided war. 13,000 Ukrainians killed, as Nancy Pelosi liked to point out. Of course, they were slaughtered so easily, and Crimea was annexed so easily for two reasons. One, the Obama administration refused to provide any lethal aid, Than, to the Ukrainians. No lethal aid was provided by the Obama administration to fight back against the Russians. That's one reason 13,000 Ukrainians were slaughtered by the Russian military so easily.
Yeah, and I actually think that's one of the biggest things to come out of this morning's hearing, Jordan, both in the deposition that Ambassador Yovanovitch took several days ago, and then again today, she reiterated that she thinks the new policy in Ukraine is working. Let me just read to you from pages 140 through 41 of that transcript. She said, "I actually felt that in the 3 years I was there, partly because of my efforts, but also the interagency team and President Trump's decision to provide lethal weapons to Ukraine, that our policy actually got stronger over the last 3 years." And Jordan, I read that because if you watch the coverage on the news, I highly doubt you're going to hear that Ambassador Yovanovitch said that President Trump's policies in Ukraine are working better than President Obama's. And yet that's exactly what she testified. You know, she went on to say that the president has the right to remove an ambassador. She wished that he didn't remove her. I think that's kind of obvious. But Jordan, I mean, I want to know which media outlets are putting out that Ambassador Yovanovitch, one of the star witnesses of these proceedings, is actually testifying that the policies of President Trump are correct. She doesn't like that she was removed, but she admits that it was his right to remove her. Jordan, have you heard that? Have you heard that on the mainstream media, that she actually thinks President Trump's policies are better?
No, of course not. You're not getting a lot of that at all. As she said, and this was in her closed-door testimony, we got the transcript. Ambassador Yovanovitch said that the Trump administration's policy to Ukraine has been stronger than under President Obama. Now, that was kind of the position of our policy is stronger. It's clear. We support the Ukrainians. Because the second part that, again, if you want to really learn about Ukraine, the second reason Ukrainians, 13,000 were killed in the annexation was most responsible, of course, was Russia. Okay, they were the aggressors. Number two, President Obama, like his red line in Syria after the use of chemical weapons, and did nothing. President Trump did do something. He fired back, and no more use of chemical weapons since then by the Syrian regime, I don't think, at least not widespreadly reported. And then, of course, we killed the leader of ISIS. President Obama refused, after that Russian aggression, to provide any lethal aid to the Ukraine. So we gave him MREs anything that was non-lethal, no weapons. President Trump comes in, starts providing weapons immediately, including Javelin missiles to take out Russian tanks. I mean, pretty serious stuff. Pretty serious stuff. So when the ambassador was asked about this, she said, "I actually felt that in the 3 years that I was there, partly because of my efforts, but also the interagency team and President Trump's decision to provide lethal weapons to Ukraine, our policy got stronger over the three last years." She likes to give herself a lot of credit. She could not have gotten the weapons to Ukraine without President Trump. She could have requested it. Obama wasn't obviously listening to those requests, even though he put her in as ambassador. President Trump and his advisors did get the weapons there. Weapons that were lethal. Lethal assistance that she said was very significant. But then she gets recalled. So she's not happy about that, but she's recalled back in May. I just want you to understand, this is a witness testifying for emotional purposes, and we were told that would be the case by Democrats early on. On MSNBC, a PBS News analyst was on MSNBC, so liberal on liberal, and said very clearly, why is Marie Yovanovitch, who was removed from the position in Ukraine way before the call with Zelensky, that's the transcript and the Is it quid pro quo? And now they want to say, is it bribery or is, you know, impeachable offense? Why is she testifying in this hearing? For what purpose exactly? And we were told, and I think if you've seen any of the hearing today, now you know, it's because of trying to make an emotional connection to Americans. Take a listen.
They want Marie Yovanovitch to be there because I'm told she cried during her deposition. So she's really someone there to be emotional so that people can feel sympathetic and see that they were actual victims in the U.S. government to President Trump's policies and to President Trump trying to get Ukraine to investigate the Bidens and the Democrats.
Yeah, so there you go. And if you've watched so far, that has certainly been the case. Now, Republicans will begin their questioning very shortly. As I'm talking to you live right now, it is 12:15 Eastern time when our show is live as we speak right now. So Republicans are about to get their chance to question Ambassador Yovanovitch. It hasn't started yet. So, folks, share this with your friends and family because this hearing has been on hold. I don't think by accident, by the way, because you know what happened during the hold? Not only was it really long, but, oh, the jury came back and found Roger Stone guilty. Now, I'm not going into whether or not Roger Stone, I'm not even going to get into that case, but it's like just a pile on. And the jury, you can't predict exactly when a jury's going to come back, but certainly they gave the media plenty of time on the one day that not just cable news, but all the broadcast channels would be covering news at least for the first 5-6 hours of the day. They got like 45 minutes then to cover Roger Stone's guilty verdict.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can't speak to the jury verdict, but I can sure speak to how votes are scheduled on the floor of the House. I mean, Speaker Pelosi and Leader Hoyer can set those any time they want, Jordan. First of all, it didn't have to be in between the Democrat and Republican questioning. Second of all, it certainly didn't have to be, look, we're running on almost 2 hours now that this vote has been running. It didn't have to happen that way. It wasn't an accident. Jordan, it was a media strategy. I would tell you it might have been a good one, but if these proceedings are in the interest of a fair and balanced proceeding, this is not when the break would have occurred, and it would not have been this long.
All right, folks, we're going to start taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. We'll go to some of the hearing as it restarts live with the Republican questioning as well as that warrants. So, too, tune in. Keep sharing. And remember, folks, we've got briefs being filed to the U.S. Supreme Court as we speak. Another one, stay being filed later today. We've got the Planned Parenthood case, the Supreme Court. The jury is deliberating. That could come out at any moment now. They try to sometimes get those verdicts out before the weekend if they can, but it could go into next week. It could come out tomorrow. Major Planned Parenthood case. We've got the ICC, International Criminal Court case, December 4th, 5th, and 6th. That's pretty soon. You can double your impact by donating right now in our matching challenge at aclj.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. online at aclj.org.
We're going to get back to the hearing in just a second. The members of Congress are getting seated. I think the ambassador is about to return to the room. And then we'll have it'll be the Republicans' chance to ask questions. And the Republicans' counsel, remember, that's not the president's counsel or legal team. There's no due process for the president in this so far. It's Republicans who are allowing, they're giving some time to their attorney to ask questions. And then some of them will. Then we'll go to the questions by members of Congress. There's only one witness today. We've talked about who that is, why some people thought she was called for this kind of emotional connection, even though she was removed from being the ambassador to Ukraine in May, way before this phone call in July. So again, she can tell you a lot about Ukrainian policy. She's praised a lot of the Trump policy, actually arming Ukrainians. She can tell you about how she. Her opinions, how she feels about this or that. She wasn't fired from the State Department. I want to make that clear. She was recalled as ambassador. She's still getting paid by all of us as by taxpayers as a State Department official. She's doing a special program at Georgetown. So she's about to begin testifying again. Let me encourage you before we get deep into this, because we're in a matching challenge month right now. You may wonder, like, hey, where's Jay? He's one of the president's lead counsels. He's working on two matters that have to be filed. One has to be filed today. One was filed yesterday at the U.S. Supreme Court on behalf of the president. And there are cases that we're filing. Our names are on those briefs. His at the top. My name's on there. Both involve the president's tax returns. One is a request to hear the case on the merits coming out of New York. That was filed. I think you may have seen that in the news yesterday. I talked about it on some radio broadcast I was on yesterday evening. Another is a stay request that will be filed later today, and you'll get a statement later today and see the news about that. A congressional move to get the president's tax returns. So that's what my dad's working on today and yesterday, and then he will is preparing also for the case at the ICC, the International Criminal Court, where at least he. Maybe me, but at least he will be presenting oral argument in the position that U.S. soldiers, U.S. Armed Forces, and CIA operatives should not be subject to an ICC, International Criminal Court, investigation that could lead to their prosecution, like warrants out for their arrest. And by the way, there's ICC. We're not an ICC member state. The U.S. isn't, but like Mexico and Canada, most of the Caribbean are. You don't have to go all the way to Europe to have one of those if one of those warrants got issued. So we're trying to nip that in the bud right from the beginning. And we're the only group representing only the U.S. Armed Forces position and the CIA position and defending them. Because the U.S. government would usually be in the position of going out and defending, but because they don't acknowledge the ICC's jurisdiction and you don't want to show up. Because even if you don't acknowledge jurisdiction, if you show up to argue the merits of a case under kind of just like accepted common law, which I don't know if they always follow the ICC or not, to be honest with you, but I'm not going to get too critical of them yet. Well, the lower court ruled the right way, that they shouldn't go forward with this investigation. They don't have the resources and they didn't even have to get into past that. Just they don't have the cooperation that would be necessary. But second, at the ICC, the U.S. government can't go in as DOJ and say, well, we don't recognize your jurisdiction, but we are going to for this case. Well, then you've recognized their jurisdiction for at least that case, which means if they did rule against you, your U.S. troops could have warrants, after the investigation could open, U.S. troops could have warrants issued against them. So we've got major stuff going on legally at the ACLJ. We've also got a jury deliberating as we speak. And if we get anything from that jury, I'll announce it while we're on air on the Center for Medical Progress. We represent one of the former board members in that civil case Planned Parenthood brought against them cause penalties in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Potentially, it is a jury verdict that we're awaiting there as we're directly involved. This is a time to support the work of the ACLJ. Why? We have a matching challenge the month of November. So we've got the constitutional work involving the president at the U.S. Supreme Court, two different two different. One is a stay. One is to, and then we'll eventually ask the court to hear the case. And involves a federal request, congressional request for tax returns, which, by the way, the Constitution doesn't require the president to provide or any other laws. And then there's then the request from the New York District Attorney. So that's on the merits. One's a stay. Then we will file the full briefing on that as well, asking the court to hear the case. Got ICC, Planned Parenthood. If you donate today, your donation is effectively doubled. Why? We have a group of donors ready to match every donation that comes to the ACLJ in the month of November. And we've got a lot of work going on. Now, I'm going to get right back to the hearing. It's just kind of restarting right now. So I'm going to get back to the hearing. But I want you to understand. Right now, I think it's they're still like arguing over some procedural things. Interrupting members of Congress and things like that, suspending questions. What I just wanted to let you know is why it's such a great time to support our work. Two cases at the U.S. Supreme Court representing the President of the United States. Constitutional issues right up our alley. We've got the ICC case defending the our armed forces and the position of our armed forces and CIA agents from potential ICC prosecution and investigation. And, of course, the Planned Parenthood case. I mean, so many different issues we're working on. Donate today. So you donate $25. That's how much you charge on your credit card. That's your tax-deductible donation if you donate $25. But effectively, that becomes $50 because we've got a group of donors that will match every single donation that comes through in the March, in the month of November during our matching challenge. So donate today at ACLJ.org. I just thought it was that important, you know, it kind of as this first half hour is coming to a close and Republicans are just getting back to now their questioning of the witness. I wanted to let you know how much work we're doing. Some that's directly involved with what you're seeing on TV with the impeachment, you know, and the inquiry. Certainly the two cases at the Supreme Court will be the first two cases at the Supreme Court that are connected to these inquiries and the tax return cases. And we're handling those directly. Jay Sekulow is right at the top of that. Jordan Sekulow is on there. Some of the other attorneys, Stuart Roth, others as well that we're working with. ICC, International Criminal Court, and we were asked to present oral argument on behalf of the position of the, you know, representing and defending our armed forces when they can't, because they can't go there and defend, because as I explained, from potential international criminal courts prosecution. And, of course, the abortion issue, exposing Planned Parenthood's disgusting sale of fetal body parts. And, of course, Planned Parenthood coming after those people, saying, you know, they were trespassing, even though – and they're not undercover journalists. I guess Connie Chung and Chris Wallace, who did this for 2020 back in the 1980s or early 90s, it was a different time, and they weren't trespassing, I guess, because what? They worked for a TV channel? World's changed a lot, Planned Parenthood. So have a lot of courts. Second Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday. Than, quickly, as of last night, a judge was confirmed to the Second Circuit. It is now switched. It's one of the first circuits to switch to Republican majority by one.
7 of the 13 judges on that court have now been nominated by Republicans, Jordan, and 8 judges from President Trump now sit on the Ninth Circuit.
All right, now we come back for the second half hour. It will be impeachment. 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 So don't worry. Get your phone calls in on it. 1-800-684-3110. Republicans are finally getting their questions asked. We'll get those to you as well. 1-800-684-3110. And share this broadcast with your friends and family. If you're on Facebook, Periscope, if you're listening on radio, tell people to tune in now. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, I think this is very important. And I agree completely. I mean, you better turn up your radios. You better get your friends and family listening. You may want to share this right now on Facebook and Periscope, because I have not said, I don't know if I've ever said this before. Ever. I completely agree. This is Jordan Sekulow from the ACLJ with what Adam Schiff said today in the committee hearing about the president's powers. Take a listen.
Some have argued that a president has the ability to nominate or remove any ambassador he wants, that they serve at the pleasure of the president. And that is true.
And that should be the end of this hearing with Marie Yovanovitch, because she was removed as ambassador. And as Adam Schiff said, the president has the ability to nominate or remove any ambassador he wants. Don't have to have a reason for it. They serve at the pleasure of the president. And he said that is true. And that, and this ambassador who was removed before the phone call and all the other controversy. So shouldn't that be the end of the hearing when it comes to this person who may not like the fact that they were removed? But that doesn't really matter. So that's one thing. You know, it's the first time I've been able to say I totally 100% agree with Adam Schiff on a statement of fact like that we can both agree on. And he didn't try to he did then kind of come back and say, but of course the Senate does confirm them. But that, yes, that's true. But once they are confirmed, it's the president who picks them. It's the president who tells them when it's time to go, and the president who picks the next one. Now, before we get fully back into impeachment, and we are going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you get on the air today, I will send you a copy of my book. It's Friday, The Next Red Wave. So 1-800-684-3110 if you've got questions, if you've got comments. One I have for all of you is, are people talking about this at your place of work seriously? And I know people are kind of like, it's everywhere you go. But are they talking about, I was at a Bible study this morning in a men's group, and of course it gets brought up to me as I'm walking, hey, is it really busy for you right now? But that was about it. It wasn't like the Bible study was all focused on the impeachment hearings, and everybody was just talking about that. And these are people who are really well-informed and know that the hearings are going on and would care. Again, are people talking about it? Are they taking it seriously? And I think it's probably different depending on where you work, who your friends are, your colleagues. And again, also because the hearings are happening during the day, it's a little bit easier for you probably if you're at work to like tune into a radio broadcast or maybe listen through your headphones to our Facebook broadcast, or if you're in the car to listen to the broadcast, or you may hear our broadcast a different time of day. But these hearings are all daytime, all when people are at work. Now, they are playing to the most consistent voting group, which is voters over 65, and a lot of them are retired, rightfully so, by the way, I would say. Nothing wrong with that. So they are able to watch. I think they're probably tuned in the most. Interesting from the numbers, Than, that we're seeing, cable news beat broadcast news when it came to viewers. Fox News had the most viewers, more than ABC or CBS or NBC, which means those normal viewers of ABC and CBS, NBC daytime TV did not all stay with this. A lot of them did turn the channel.
And I would guess, Jordan, across all demographics, it's just not going to play well for them, because, look, I think it's been pretty clear today that it's been a debate between the deep state and draining the swamp. And, Jordan, I think it'd be hard to pick a demographic that would choose the former over the latter. I mean, yeah, maybe you've got the sympathetic story of a recalled, not a fired, a recalled diplomat who has served honorably.
Yeah, still gets Jordan, her paycheck even, from all of us.
And she actually echoed what you read from Chairman Schiff. She echoed it, Jordan. She said, yeah, I serve at the pleasure of the president, and he can recall me at any time. I essentially just wish he hadn't. Jordan, I don't think that's very convincing to anybody, honestly.
So, folks, when we come back, we'll start taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. See if we've got any new sound now that the Republicans' attorney counsel is starting to ask questions as well. That's just restarted at the hearing. 1-800-684-3110. If you've got questions, comments, help me out too. You know, I can be kind of in a bubble with this because I'm so focused in on it. But are people you're talking to focused in on it? Are your friends and family focused in on it? 1-800-684-3110. Or are they starting to tune it out? We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
To Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. As I said, I got to play my first soundbite where I got to agree with Adam Schiff that the president has the right to choose his ambassador and then remove their ambassador however he chooses. Steve Castor, who is the Republicans' counsel, asked that kind of similar question to Marie Yovanovitch. Like, you're upset about being removed as ambassador, but that's part of being an ambassador, right? Listen, Bite 75.
No, nobody disputes that it's up to the president to decide who his envoys are to post around the world, correct?
I stated that clearly in my statement.
Yeah, so she knew that by taking this position, she could be removed. She wouldn't always get promoted up. By the way, she's not fired. I just want to make that clear to everybody. She did not get fired. She got removed from her position as ambassador. She is still a State Department high-ranking employee right now doing a program at Georgetown. Very nice, very cushy position, cushier than some of her past positions she's had to hold. And again, I think that on the one hand, she's praised some of the Trump administration policy. On the other hand, she's been, again, very outspoken against the Trump administration policy. So she liked the real policy of the Trump administration, like arming Ukrainians to fight. She didn't like the personnel decisions, I would say, Than. I think that's how I'd kind of put it. She didn't like that one, President Trump might want someone else in as ambassador, might not have always agreed with her style as ambassador. And that is something that's up to him ultimately and his advisors, and he gets to choose who he wants as president. They can be inside the government, outside the government. She didn't like that part either. But the big policy she liked, like giving Ukrainians missiles that could kill Russians in their tanks.
Jordan, the important stuff she agreed with. Look, she went on after she said the president had the right to recall her to say that she thought that removing ambassadors was dangerous. Well, Jordan, that's very much like Speaker Pelosi saying that giving the aid was in the national interest, or Chairman Schiff saying that the president froze foreign aid that the Foreign Service apparatus supported. Jordan, those are all subjective decisions that the president of the United States has the most constitutional authority to make. It's not particularly relevant whether an honorably serving foreign diplomat thinks it's the right decision or not. Jordan, I do think she needs to be followed up with a little bit on that line of questioning that you played as well, because she testified earlier that a president has never removed an ambassador without cause. And Jordan, that just absolutely could not be further from the truth. In fact, it happens to be how it generally works. You read earlier a report from 2008 where President Obama said that all of the politically appointed ambassadors would be removed on the very first day he took office. And look, here's the thing, Jordan. It was his right to do it. It was, frankly, not remarkable, didn't raise a lot of eyebrows, his right to do it, and kind of the normal course of action. So I do think that they should circle back to that and ask her about it, because that just was patently untrue.
Yeah. Again, it'll be interesting to see when they really get into the questioning, and they still, I don't think they have really gotten into it yet, guys, right? You're monitoring it closely. I'm seeing kind of the watching on TV and getting the closed caption, and it seems like now it's really just kind of starting out. So I don't know if we'll get to that point while we are on the air. But here is what Than was talking about. This is when the Democrats' counsel was questioning Marie Yovanovitch. Take a listen, Byte 52.
Now, you understood, of course, that the president of the United States could remove you and that you served at the pleasure of the president. Is that right?
That's right.
But in your 33 years as a foreign service officer, have you ever heard of a president of the United States recalling another ambassador without cause based on allegations that the State Department itself knew to be false?
No.
So, Than, again, let's explain. One, without cause, don't need a cause. Never need a cause. Don't need any explanation for why you remove an ambassador. In fact, it would be easy enough. If you want one, she was put in place by Obama. This president, not a huge fan of President Obama, you know, ran against the Democrat Party position or his policies in the Ukraine and kind of wanted to go a different route. But you don't have to do that. There is no this without cause. They tried to use this with Jim Comey, too. You don't need it. You don't need cause to make the removal. And then second, they try to make it out to be this, oh, this was a conspiracy in the State Department. That's not the case either.
Yeah, and first of all, I think we got to call out Daniel Goldman on this, because you're right, Jordan. First of all, he says they've never been recalled without cause. And then he goes on to say, based on allegations that the State Department itself knew to be false. No, Jordan, without cause means there's not actually a reason for the removal. It's just that the president wants his own people in there. And again, Jordan, I'm going to say it again. This is the normal course of action. It's a politically appointed position. And when a new president takes office, generally speaking, all of the ones that he has people he wants to fill are vacated and recalled. And I'm going to read directly the notification that the Washington Post put out on December 3rd, 2008. The incoming Obama administration has notified all, not one, Jordan, all politically appointed ambassadors that they must vacate their posts. When, Jordan? On January 20th, the day that President-elect Barack Obama takes the oath of office, a State Department official said, Jordan, President Obama was within his rights to do it, yep. But it was not one ambassador. It was all of the politically wanted ones. And, Jordan, you know what the reason was? It was without cause.
Yes. Blanket dismissal is okay. Yep. Understand that you could literally come in as president and in any time during your presidency and say every one of the ambassadors that are political appointees are recalled immediately. And you could even go so far as say those who got the position by the bureaucracy, we're going to replace you too with political appointees because you have that right too. So, I mean, you can have blanket dismissals. And as Than read, it was just that straight up. And no one had any question with it. No one thought that was weird. No one thought that was strange. I didn't hear a lot of ambassadors complaining. Sometimes they go back and actually renominate ambassadors to the position. Sometimes they don't. So they kind of get a chance to go back through the list. Now, this is an interesting part because we talked about this in the beginning. Now it's actually starting to come out in the hearings that really this witness has very little to add to what the Democrats are saying is somehow the impeachable part of what the president did on this phone call and this pressure and is there quid pro quo? Well, we don't want to use that anymore. Now we say bribery, but maybe we don't say bribery. And so this is the Republican, again, attorney asking former Ambassador Yovanovitch, still on the State Department payroll, that, hey, you don't really have a lot to add to the actual substance. And, you know, Democrats keep attacking Republicans and say they don't want to talk about substance, just policy, you know, process. Why is the third witness called by the Democrats, someone who cannot talk about substance. I mean, think about that for a moment. And she said it. She admitted to that. Take a listen.
Today is the second big hearing for the Democrats' impeachment initiative. But we don't understand, or we do understand that you don't have a lot of facts and information relating to the part of this that we're investigating. And those are the events from May 20th up until to September 11th, the release of the security assistance funds. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct.
So again, I just want to reread that for you. Very, because he kind of just says it kind of matter-of-factly. We have the second day of hearings for the Democrats' impeachment initiative. We understand, and again, he's not trying to be mean here. He just wants to get this out, that you don't have a lot of facts and information relating to the part of that of this that we are investigating in those events from May 20th through September 11th, at least the security assistance funds. Is that correct? Yes, that is correct. Than, that means she does not have any information on the withholding of the funds or the hold that was put on the funds, why there was a hold put on the funds, if it was done because it was Biden-related, if it was done because of just general corruption concerns. She has no information to add to that. And anything would just be, from her, would be even less than the first two witnesses who were at least around during that time period and kind of engaged, though they were not on the phone call and not really kept in the loop on a lot of things and getting their information by hearsay. Hers would just be like you or me talking about it. It'd be like, it would just be like what you read in the news, and that's it.
It's a pretty staggering exchange, Jordan. I mean, all of this was based on hearsay before. This isn't even hearsay. This is, I don't know anything about the topic
of this
hearing.
She's not trying to say she knows anything either.
Right. Well, I put this on Chairman Schiff, not the ambassador. Yeah. I mean, the ambassador had to come at this point. But look, if you kind of step back, Jordan, and look at the totality of her testimony, it's essentially this. I don't know anything about the investigation that you're looking into now. However, I do like President Trump's policies. They're working in Ukraine better than President Obama's were. But you know what? I do wish he'd have let me keep being the ambassador. It hurt my feelings a little bit that he recalled him. Jordan, I guess I feel for her in that way a little bit, but, not that relevant to an impeachment. Now, that's not fair, Jordan. It's not relevant at all to an impeachment inquiry.
Yeah. No, I mean, the witnesses we're going to go through in the final segment, we're going to start taking all your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And in the final segment, we are going to also kind of update you on what is next week's schedule like as well. So who's coming next? Because there are three people who will be testifying next week of the 11 total so far that have been called who are actually on the call. So that'll be a little new, at least. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
So I think for the most part, since we've only got one segment left, we're going to write to the phones. I think we'll just have to see how this kind of develops as the Republican counsel's asking his questions, and then the members will get to ask their questions. We've played for you what has been so far as relevant as we can. At the same time, I think there's still kind of like this dialogue going back and forth, and I want to take your calls. Second, to update you on what else is going on in the world of the ACLJ, because there is something else going on other than impeachment. By the way, an impeachment that, let's all be honest about, is an impeachment hoax that if it does get to the Senate and has a full trial, the president will be acquitted. 20 Republicans are not going to join every Democrat and the independent to remove the president from office for the first time ever under this constitutional provision, less than a year before the American people get to make their decision. And by the way, the American people do get to make, voters get to make the decision on, do they like policy? Do they like style? Do they like the substance? Do they like the way the president, do they like the president or not? That's up to the voters, not members of Congress, to decide that and to remove the president because they don't. That's just very key. So we've got the cases at the ICC, December 4th, 5th, and 6th, preparing for that. My dad's doing that right now. Two cases on behalf of the president at the U.S. Supreme Court. My dad's working on one of those, got filed the request for the court to hear the case. There was some news on that yesterday. And then today they'll be filed a request for a stay on a similar case. One involves state attorneys. One involves federal and Congress requests, all with the tax returns. It's the first two cases that involve the inquiries that would be heading to the U.S. Supreme Court. And that the president is involved in directly. So we're representing the president in those. And then, of course, you've got the Planned Parenthood case out in California where we are awaiting the jury verdict. And as soon as we get that, we'll get that post. Probably may not be coming while we're on the air, still early out in California. But juries sometimes like to get things done before the weekend if they can, or over the weekend. We'll get it posted as soon as possible. Remember, ACLJ.org and our social medias like Facebook and Twitter to get up-to-the-date information on the cases that we're working on. It's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ because we have a matching challenge. Donate online at ACLJ.org. We've got time for three phone calls. All three of these callers will get a copy of The Next Red Wave signed by me. Let's go first in order. Joseph, thank you for holding on. We wanted to get through as much info as we could and then take these phone calls and give you a chance to talk.
No, I appreciate it. God bless you, Jordan, and your dad for the work that you do on behalf of all Christians around the world.
Thank you.
And I don't know if I'm being optimistic and you know, looking at these proceedings and wondering if the Democrats didn't realize that this is all backfiring them. Because, first of all, the opening statement by the Republican on the chair, when he mentions on the council, when he reads out loud his statement, his opening statement, and he reads the letter, he makes it clear to the American people that this is all happening prior to the knowledge of this ambassador who came to testify. And then she herself also, like you already mentioned, and while I was waiting, she herself testified that what they're trying to impeach the president on, she had no knowledge of. So I don't understand why she was even allowed, and I'm glad she did come,
yeah,
but why she was even chosen to be
emotion,
there.
Emotion was the goal, Joseph. They said it. We played the bite. I don't have time to play it again because I want to get to the phone calls. But the emotion was the goal. She was an emotional witness behind closed doors when they were doing these testimonies in secret. Remember, that doesn't really come out in transcript. So they thought it would be good to have her in the public because she was emotional witness, even though she had admittedly, and again, not attacking her because they're the ones that subpoenaed her to be there and asked her to be there, that she has no info to provide, and she's not even speculating on her own. She's not trying to do the hearsay thing and all of that on the holding of aid and when the aid was released and all of that. So, again, it was a Democrats' move on emotion. We'll see how it plays. A lot of this is politics as well. I do want to point out President Trump has released the transcript of the phone call between him and President Zelensky, the first phone call they had, after Zelensky won that election. It was kind of a surprise because he, like President Trump, political outsider. And Devin Nunes actually read the transcript in full. We're not going to do that for you right now and don't have the time, but you can access now that online. But here's a key part, because this is the president flat out inviting the president of the Ukraine, who just got elected. I don't even think he's sworn in at this point, to come visit him at the White House. Doesn't say he has to do anything to get that visit. Take a listen.
When you're settled in and ready, I'd like to invite you to the White House. We'll have a lot of things to talk about, but we're with you all the way. Zelensky, thank you for the invitation. We accept the invitation and look forward to the visit. Thank you again. The whole team and I are looking forward to the visit. Thank you for the congratulations, and I think it will still be great if you could come and be with us on this important day. The results are incredible.
And there you go. So the first phone call they have, the president, he was supposed to be so obsessed with this Biden investigation and investigate this, investigate that, and this prosecutor and that. And first phone call, when you're settled and ready, I invite you to the White House. Now, a lot of that has become more complicated because of what's occurred now. But, I mean, again, that's how it started off, and it still is, I think, a very good relationship. You had the Ukrainian ambassador, one of their officials came out yesterday and said, no one ever told us that we had to start an investigation to get aid. So even some of the people that are putting this in their testimony aren't correct, and at least that's not how they heard it. They didn't interpret anything like that. And again, then that response, well, what do you expect from Ukraine? They rely so much on the U.S. You know, I think to a point, though, they also understand that if politically they were getting that bullied around and they felt like it was a bullying thing and not normal, that they would still speak out. At least some members of the government would speak out. But again, I want to get to the phone calls. Kathy in New York, line 3, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my telephone call. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kathy.
And thank you so much for the wonderful program that you provide to us. It is so informative.
Thank you.
I mean, we don't see a lot of this, hear a lot of this in the news, because obviously it's all one-sided.
Well, yeah, I mean, the broadcast news, you get places like, by the way, Fox News was the number one most watched channel the first day of the hearings. Most of their viewers, we know what political bent they come from. I think, and then it was all cable news dominated. The broadcast news, which means people who watch daytime TV, were not so happy that their shows got preempted by the impeachment. And so far, it has not been so interesting enough. And we'll see what the numbers were from today when you had a witness who's testifying who says they have, who admittedly said, I have no information to give you on why you're trying to impeach the president. Let's take Helen really quickly. Helen, 56 seconds. You've been on hold for about 20 minutes. So I want to get you on, and we'll get you the book as well. Go right ahead.
Yep. Yes. I mean, this whole thing is ridiculous. I mean, it's just them trying to, you know, because they don't like you. You can't serve anything you do. The hearing is ridiculous. They can't call.
Let me ask you, Helen. Helen, did you vote for? Are you a Trump supporter? Like, did you vote for President Trump?
No, I didn't, but I will this year.
Interesting. So you're actually going to likely vote for President Trump because of what the Democrats have done. So are you have you been a Democrat in the past?
Well, kind of, yes.
Okay. Yeah. But because of this, you're going to vote for President Trump. I mean, this is like the worst nightmare, Helen, of the Democrats. And we've got a lot to cover. We got a lot of hearings next week to cover.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.